Bethany Baptist Church
would like to welcome all to attend the Spiritual Revival Missions Conference being held September 15th through September 22nd with the theme Empowering Future Generations for Global Missions. Please plan to join us for spiritually uplifting praise and worship, inspirational missionary testimonies about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and anointed speakers that will minister the word of God. For more information, please go to our website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Blood of the Lamb, The Word of Your Testimony, and Loving Not Your Life as a Weapon from our series, The Weapons of Our Warfare. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Blood of the Lamb, The Word of Your Testimony, and Loving Not Your Life as a Weapon.
Followers of Jesus Christ. They were followers of Jesus Christ. Well, let me read this again. How did they overcome? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Each one of them, 21. All got their heads cut off. And why did they get their heads cut off? Because of the word of their testimony. And what was the word of their testimony? The word of their testimony is that I'm a child of God and I've been born again through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And because of the word of their testimony, they lost their lives. But as we think about where we are as a country, let me read something to you before he goes to the next slide. Let me read something to you. A shooting took place Thursday at Umpqua College, Community College in Oregon, where witnesses said the gunman specifically targeted Christians. Fox News reports that the shooter, Christopher Harper Mercer, killed at least 9 people and wounded at least 7, although some sources believe the death toll could be as high as 13. The shooting took place in the small town of Roseburg, Oregon, where witnesses said Mercer shot victims in a number of classrooms. One student, Courtney Moore, said that her writing and she witnessed the shooting as she reported to the New York Post. She said that as he began to shoot, he asked people about their faith. Are you a Christian? He would ask them. And if you're a Christian, stand up. And they would stand up and he said, good, because you're a Christian, you're going to see your God in just about 1 second. And he shot and killed them. This was one account. And the other account was that he would ask them if they were Christians, and if they said yes, he shot them in the head. If they said no, then he shot them in the leg. So if you go to that next slide, we see that even here in our country now, we have to be careful because this could have been Allegheny Community College. This could have been any community college where now we are asked about our testimony. And let's be honest. How many, and you know, I was listening to James McDonald. He's a pastor out of Chicago. And he was talking about this. And he said, you know who the bravest person was on this day? The bravest person. He said it wasn't the first person that stood up and got shot in the head when they said they're a Christian. He said it wasn't that person, but you know who the bravest person was on that day? It was the second person. Why? Because they knew what was going to happen. They knew what was going to happen. And how very easy it might have been to just back away from it and say, well, you know, I've been going to church, but I'm not really a Christian. You know? Then you know, we say, what? Well, you know, God knows my heart. Right? It says how they overcame by the word of their testimony. How many of us are that committed to Christ that if it came down to something like this, and again, yo, let's be honest. How many of us would struggle? How many of let's just be honest. How many of us would struggle if they came into community college and we were attending a community college and you knew that this person was going to kill Christians? Would you stand and say, I am a Christian? And we say it now, right? But in that moment, I pray and I hope to God that if that came down and it happened to me, that I would not deny my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were talking about in one of the countries over there in the Middle East, that there was ISIS or Hamas or one of these groups that they told the parents that if they said that they were Christians, right in front of them, they were going to kill their kids. Now, that'd be a hard thing right there. That'd be a hard thing right there to say that you're a Christian when you see your children, loins of your loins, and you see them, take them out. Wow. Wow. Look at Revelation 6 and verse 9. Revelation 6 and verse 9. John writes, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were what? Slain. They were killed for the word of God and for what? And for the testimony which they held. Notice the operative word there is the testimony which they held. That they said, by life or by death, I'm going to hold on to my testimony. And now, they are souls that are pictured as slain under the altar. And they're there for one reason, and one reason only. Because they held on to their testimony. Yet and still, sometimes we will be in a situation where people might be making fun of Christians. Well, you know what? I don't have to say anything. they don't really need to know that I'm a child of God. And we back down. And we hide our testimony. But it said that these people here held their testimony. They held on to their testimony. They weren't shaken off of what they believed. Brothers and sisters, let's be honest. You know, if we're going to do battle against, how did they, and who are they battling against? You know, when you look at ISIS and you look at this guy that went into this college here in Oregon and started killing all these people, who motivated them? It was nobody but the devil. Who else is going to kill Christians? Who else is going to purposely target to kill Christians? Who else is going to behead 21 people? Because that's, man, Satan is behind that. And yet and still, they got the last laugh. Even though their heads might have got chopped off, they got the last laugh, and they overcame Satan. And you know, man, we in this country, like I said, we're not there. Well, I mean, well, I guess, yeah, we can't even say anymore. That's over there, because it's right here now. And you don't know when you're going to be called. Are you going to hold on to your testimony? For Christ's sake, are you going to hold on to your testimony? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Man, this is when the rubber meets the road. This is when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, as they would say. Right? I mean, all this other stuff. It's easy for you to walk in here this morning because everybody here pretty much believes the same thing, has the same idea. But it's things, and let's be honest, in this country, persecution is becoming greater and greater. You know, I shared with you earlier this year how that they, the mayor of Houston, who was a lesbian, was trying to get all the sermons of the pastors, subpoena all the sermons of the pastors and listen to them, so that if there was pastors that was preaching about homosexuality, that, you know, they would begin to persecute them, whether it was taking away their tax-exempt status. And even in Canada, some pastors are being put in jail because they have preached messages that said that homosexuality is a sin. So, again, you know, this verse right here, Revelation 12 and verse 11, it's becoming more and more real. And, you know, it's going to mean something. It's going to mean something to say that you're a Christian. You know, these guys that get on TV and, you know, say that they're Christian and, you know, live all kind of ways and, you know, serving the devil, and yet still say that they're Christian. Well, the time is coming in this country where it's going to mean something when you say that you're a Christian. They overcame me by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and then finally, they love not their life, even unto death. When Satan persecuted these individuals, he thought he defeated them. However, they overcame him, even though some of them died, because they love not their life, even to the point of death. And I began to think, you know, that right there is still way out there for us, right? What does that mean, to love not your life, even to the point of death? Well, we know what it meant for them, that they were killed because they put the life of Christ in pleasing God before their own life. So we know what it meant for them. I just began to think. I said, Lord, how can I make this real? How can I make this so that, you know, maybe many of the Christians that are going to listen to this sermon today, they might not face having to make a choice between their life and dying. But then I began to think about, what does it mean to die to self? So I put it on the back of your bulletin. Let's look at this for a second. What does it mean to die for self? And I would say that if we're struggling with this concept that I put back here, then we might struggle when somebody sticks a gun in our face and say that they're going to take us out. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught and don't sting, hurt, with insult of the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ. That's dying for self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence. That's dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any impunctuality, or any annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured, that's dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any climate, any society, any raiment, any interruption by the will of God, that's dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own good works or itch after commendations, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy nor question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that's dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that's dying to self. If we struggle with something like this right here, I mean, if we're struggling with this, just and this was, I didn't come up with this. I was going through my notes last night, and I found it, and I said, oh, man, this will fit right in with the sermon. And I'm not, I didn't have a name on it, who wrote it, or where it came from. But I said, whoever thought of this, you know, really hit the nail right on the head. And then I began to translate that over to when it says, and they love not their lives, even unto death. Well, again, how many of us in our lifetime, like I said, it's getting worse, but how many of us in our lifetime will actually have to make a decision or a choice between our life and saying that we love the Lord, and saying that we serve Christ? You know, very few of us at this point will have that. But I think this right here, to me, is an indication of where we're at. You know, the one that hit me, right? I'm just going to be honest with you. Was that one, it says, when you are content with any food, any offering, any climate. And I know, man, I've been rejoicing. I've been rejoicing with this 60-degree weather. You know, and I find sometimes that, you know, when it's cold, snowing, you know, that tends to begin to affect my attitude and my spirit. And so I said, Lord, you know, I guess it's just a matter of me dying to self. But you know, again, this might be way out there for us, and we look at it and say, well, come on, Pastor, man, you know, you kind of put it out there. But Jesus set the bar high. He set the bar high. And if we set the bar low, where we can just jump across it, then we get used to jumping over a low bar. And our resistance becomes very minimal. But when we put the bar up there high, and we have to look up there, and we have to say, that's where I need to be, then we got something to shoot for. And I like what I heard somebody say. They said, aim high. Even if you miss, you still come up high. And that's what we need to do, and realize that in the little things, that we need to die to self. So that if we're ever challenged on the big thing, that I hope to God that if you ever hear about somebody taking Pastor Glaze out, you know, because he was given the choice to say he was a child of God or deny Christ, I just pray to God that the word is said. He stood up and he said, I love the Lord. I love Jesus Christ. I pray to God for me. Now, I don't know what you pray for you. See, and the fact is that some people's commitment is not that great. You know, they might be saved a little bit, but then they might say, well, you know, when I got saved a little bit. I didn't get saved that much. You know, I didn't get saved that much. Well, we need to be saved. You know, you go back. You know something interesting to read? Let me give you a challenge. Go back, and you might have it. If you got a Bible software program, it's probably on there. But if you don't have it, go back and buy Fox's Book of Martyrs. Fox's Book of Martyrs. It tells you how it starts off with the 11 disciples. Now, we know why it says 11, because Judas, you know, he went out and he took his own life. It tells you how each one of the 11 died, how that Peter was crucified, and that when he was crucified, he was turned upside down, and he requested that because he said, I'm not worthy to die the same way that my Savior died. How the Apostle Paul was in a Roman prison, and according to tradition, he was beheaded for the name of Christ. The Apostle John, he was on the Isle of Patmos, and they got a cauldron of boiling hot oil and put him in it. And I don't know how in the world he did it, but he survived it. Fox's book, and then it goes throughout the ages, how that when you said something in the first century, that it meant something when you said that you were Christian. When you said that you were Christian, and it meant something, and oftentimes it meant their life. Where are we at? Where are we at? How did they overcome Satan? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love lost their life, even unto death. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, we closed out the year with a hard message. Hard message. But Lord, I believe in the midst of this message, there's a message of commitment. You know, our commitment to you. And just how committed are we? It's easy to be committed in times of comfort and convenience, but Lord, it's another thing to be committed when there's no familiar, friendly faces looking at you. And so, Lord, I pray that if it comes down to that, Lord, I pray that you would give me the strength and the wisdom to be able to stand, and that I would stand for you, realizing that these people in ISIS, they are strapping bombs to themselves, and they are running into crowded buildings and blowing themselves up. And even though they're taking their own life, they're thinking that they're going to paradise. They're thinking they're going somewhere, they're going to get 70 virgins. And Lord, when they open their eyes, they're going to open their eyes to a godless eternity of eternal suffering. But Lord, even if it comes down to us putting our life on the line for you, we read in your word where it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, Father, we thank you that even in life, whether it's from old age, whether it's from sickness or some other means, that when we close our eyes in death, we have the precious, precious promise in your word that we wake up in your presence. And the psalmist told us that in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Lord, that you have a prepared place for a prepared people. And so, Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of sin, that today that they might come and give their life to Jesus Christ. If there's someone here today, Lord, that's looking for a church home, a place to worship, then, Lord, we ask that you would move them to come forward at this time. Lord, we commit this invitation to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Biblical Fasting as a Weapon from our series, The Weapons of Our Warfare. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Blood of the Lamb, The Word of Your Testimony, and Loving Not Your Life as a Weapon, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Blood of the Lamb, The Word of Your Testimony, and Loving Not Your Life as a Weapon. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Blood of the Lamb, The Word of Your Testimony, and Loving Not Your Life as a Weapon. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, The Weapons of Our Warfare. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about the resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 12206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.